Fascinating Rhythm is a production of WXXI FM in Rochester, New York, and is funded by the contributing members of the WXXI Public Broadcasting Council.
Say, there's a little rhythm, 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 the pit-pats through my brain. So darn persistent, the day isn't distant when it will drive me insane.
This is Fascinating Rhythm, songs from the Great American Songbook. I'm Michael Lasser. Ego unleashed to the point of egomania. How does a songwriter handle it? Deftly, with humor, psychologically, as if from a therapist's couch, more ways than you might think. Stay tuned.
Oh, how I long to be the man I used to be. Fascinating rhythm. You gotta stop picking on me.
These love songs don't sound as if they're going to be conventional, but sometimes a conventional love song borrows a title that makes the lover seem narcissistic, at least until you hear the rest of the lyric. It's the confidence that comes with new love. It leads you from walking and talking to dancing and singing. Frank Sinatra with Bobby Troup's Oh Look at Me Now, and from David Shire and Richard Maltby's score to Starting Here, Starting Now, Lonnie Ackerman, George Lee Andrews, and Marjorie Cohen, Pleased with Myself.
I'm not the guy who cared about love, and I'm not the guy who cared about fortunes and such. Never cared much.
Oh, look at you now.
I never knew the technique of kissing. I never knew the thrill I could get from your touch. Never knew much.
Oh, look at you now. You're a new man, better than Casanova at his best.
With a new heart, a brand new start, I'm so proud I'm busting my vest.
So you're the guy who turned out a lover.
Yes, I'm the guy who laughed at those blue diamond rings. One of those things.
But look at you now.
What makes this whole wide world go bopping along? Why can't I stop my fingers popping along? Well, I have to tell you, my must be that I'm sky high. Just found myself my guy, and I'm feeling pleased with myself.
Ooh, she's very pleased, found out my baby loves me. What do you know? Somewhere God's rhythm section's starting to go. Well, now everybody, hey there, you can't swing and sway there. Nobody can stay square when I'm feeling pleased with myself.
Freak out, it's just 'cause I'm pleased.
Frank Sinatra, Oh, Look at Me Now, and Lonnie Ackerman, George Lee Andrews, and Marjorie Cohen, Pleased with Myself. You're listening to Fascinating Rhythm Songs from the Great American Songbook. I'm Michael Lasser. When it isn't merely obnoxious, braggadocio is funny. In the Arthurian legend, Sir Lancelot is the embodiment of all knightly virtues. By the time he lands on Broadway in the second half of the 20th century, he still possesses all of them. In fact, they're what make him unbearable. Not because he has them, but because he knows he has them. He's the noblest of souls, a towering romantic, and a humorless prig. From Frederick Lowe and Alan J. Lerner's 1960 score to Camelot, Robert Goulet, C'est moi.
Camelot, Camelot, in far off France I heard your call. Camelot, Camelot, and here am I to give my all. I know in my soul what you expect of me, and all that and more I shall be. A knight of the Table Round should be invincible, succeed when a less fantastic man would fail, climb a wall no one else can climb, cleave a dragon in record time, swim a moat in a coat of heavy iron mail. No matter the pain, he ought to be unwincible. Impossible deeds should be his daily fare. But where in the world is there in the world a man so extraordinaire? C'est moi, I'm forced to admit, 'tis I humbly reply. That mortal who these marvels can do, c'est moi, 'tis I. I've never lost in battle or game, I'm simply the best by far. When swords are crossed, 'tis always the same, one blow and au revoir. C'est moi, so admirably fit, a French Prometheus unbound. And here I stand with valor untold, exceptionally brave, amazingly bold, to serve at the Table Round. The soul of a knight should be a thing remarkable, his heart and his mind as pure as morning dew. With a will and a self-restraint that's the envy of every saint, he could easily work a miracle or two. To love and desire, he ought to be unsparkable. The ways of the flesh should offer no allure. But where in the world is there in the world a man so untouched and pure? C'est moi. C'est moi, c'est moi, I blush to disclose, I'm far too noble to lie. That man in whom these qualities bloom, c'est moi, 'tis I. I've never strayed from all I believe, I'm blessed with an iron will. Had I been made the partner of Eve, we'd be in Eden still. C'est moi, the angels have chose to fight their battles below. And here I stand as pure as a prayer, incredibly clean, with virtue to spare, the godliest man I know. C'est moi.
Lancelot's egotism is just the sort of thing you find among the aristocracy. If nothing else, it makes the rest of us feel better, maybe even superior. It doesn't matter if the prince is real or a character in a fairy tale. His humorlessness gives air and lift to egomania's clay. Encased in tunic and medals, he's an object of mockery to the rest of us. It's a touch of humorous democratizing, where there's very little that resembles democracy. From Alan Menken and Howard Ashman's 1994 score to Beauty and the Beast, Burke Moses and Susan Egan with Me, and from Stephen Sondheim's 1987 score to Into the Woods, Robert Westenberg and Chuck Wagner, Agony.
You've been dreaming just one dream nearly all your life, hoping, scheming, just one theme. Will you be a wife? Will you be some he-man's property? Good news, that he-man's me. This equation, girl plus man, doesn't help just you. On occasion, women can have their uses too, mainly to extend the family tree. Pumpkin, extend with me. Raising sons galore.
Inconceivable.
Each built 6'4".
Unbelievable.
Each one stuffed with every Gaston gene.
I'm not hearing
You'll
this.
Be keeping house with pride.
Just incredible.
Each day gratified.
So incredible.
That you are part of this idyllic scene. Picture this. A rustic hunting lodge. My latest kill. Roasting over the fire. My little wife massaging my feet while the little ones play on the floor with the dogs. Oh, we'll have 6 or 7.
Dogs?
No, Belle. Strapping boys like me.
Imagine that.
I can see that we will share all that love implies. We shall be the perfect pair, rather like my thighs. You are face to face with destiny. All roads lead to the best things in life are all's well that ends with me. Escape me, there's no way, certain as Dore. Belle, when you marry. So, Belle, what'll it be? Is it yes or is it... oh, yes.
I just don't deserve you.
Who does? Me!
But thanks for asking.
Did I abuse her or show her disdain? Why does she run from me? If I should lose her, how shall I regain the heart she has won from me? Agony beyond power of speech, when the one thing you want is the only thing out of your reach. High in her tower, she sits by the hour, maintaining her hair. Blithe and becoming, and frequently humming a light-hearted air. Ah, agony, far more painful than yours, when you know she would go with you if there only were doors. Agony, all the torture they teach. What's as intriguing or half so fatiguing as what's out of reach? Am I not sensitive, clever, well-mannered, considerate, passionate, charming, as kind as I'm handsome and heir to a throne?
You are everything maidens could wish for.
Then why no?
Why no?
You must be mad.
You know nothing of madness till you're climbing her. See her up there as you're nearing her, all the while hearing her. Ah,
always 10 feet below, and she's just out of reach. Agony that can cut like a knife. I must have her to one.
It's not very far from nobility to being a general in the army or a captain on shipboard. It's also a thin line between a sense of authority and a sense of being blind to one's own folly. Like the princes before them, the military high command suffers from incurably comic egotism. It's such an irresistible, delectable target. From Julie Stein, Betty Comden, and Adolph Green's score to Peter Pan, Cyril Richard, Captain Hook's waltz, and from Arthur Sullivan and W.S. Gilbert's Pirates of Penzance, George Rose with I Am the Very Model of a Modern Major General.
Who's the swiniest swine in the world?
Captain Hook! Captain Hook!
Who's the dirtiest dog in this wonderful world?
Captain Hook! Captain Hook!
Captain of villainy, murder and loot, eager to kill any who says that his hook isn't cute.
It's cute!
Who's the slimiest rat in the pack?
Captain Hook! Captain Hook!
Who's unlovable?
You.
Who's unlivable?
You.
Whose existence is quite unforgivable?
You.
Who would stoop to the cheapest and lowest of tricks in the book?
Tricks in the book!
Blimey, slimy, Captain Hook! All mortals envy me. Yet better perhaps for Hook to have had less ambition. Oh, fame. Fame, thou glittering bauble, in searching for thee, what fame have I not lost? No little children love me. I'm told they play at Peter Pan, and the strongest always chooses to be Peter. They force the baby to be Hook. The baby. That's where the canker gnaws. No! Bicarbonate of soda! No! Who's the swiniest?
Swiniest!
The doggiest?
Doggiest!
The slimiest?
Slimiest!
Who's the creepiest creep in the world?
Captain Hook! Captain Hook!
Who's dispensable?
You.
Reprehensible?
You.
Whose behavior is quite indefensible?
You.
Who's the crawling as cruel as crummy as crooked as crook?
Crooked as crook! What a price! What a joy!
Mrs. Hook's little baby boy!
The scourge of the sea!
Just little old me!
Hook!
Model of a modern major general. I've information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England, and I quote the fight's historical, from Marathon to Waterloo in order categorical. I'm very well acquainted too with matters mathematical. I understand equations both as simple and quadratical. About binomial theorem, I'm teeming with a lot of news. Lot of news? Got it. With many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse.
With many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse. With many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse. With many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse.
I'm very good at integral and differential calculus. I know the scientific names of beings and animalculus. In short, if that is vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern major general.
In short, if that is vegetable, animal, and mineral, he is the very model of a modern major general.
I know our mythic history, King Arthur's answer paradox. I answer hard acrostics, I have a pretty tasteful paradox. I quoted elegiacs, all the crimes of Heliogabalus. In conic cycles, all peculiarities parabolous. I can tell undoubted Raphaels from Gerard Dawson's off the knees. I know the croaking chorus from the frogs of Aristophanes. Then I can hum a fugue of which I've heard the music's dinner for. Ooh, dinner for. Got it. And whistle all the airs from that inferno nonsense dinner for.
And whistle all the airs from that inferno nonsense dinner for. And whistle all the airs from that inferno nonsense dinner for. And whistle all the airs from that inferno nonsense dinner for. And whistle all the airs from that inferno nonsense dinner for.
Then I can write a washing bill in Babylonic uniform and tell you every detail of Caractacus's uniform. In short, it matters vegetable, animal, and mineral. I am the very model of a modern major general.
It's only matters vegetable, animal, and mineral. It's the very model of a modern major general.
In fact, when I know what is meant by mammalon and revelin, when I can tell at sight a Mauser rifle from a javelin, when such affairs as sorties and surprises I'm more wary at, and when I know precisely what is meant by commissariat, when I have learned what progress has been made in modern gunnery, when I know more of tactics than a novice in a nunnery, in short, when I've a smattering of elemental strategy. Oh, I say strategy. Oh, that's a hard one, isn't it? I've got it. You'll say a better major general has never sat a G.
Say a better major general has never sat a G. Say a better major general has never sat a G.
For my military knowledge, though I'm quacky and adventury, has only been brought down to the beginning of the century. But still it matters vegetable, animal, and mineral. I am the very model of a modern major general.
But still it matters vegetable, animal, and mineral.
Presto agitato, silver play, maestro. In fact, when I know what's meant by mammalon and reveling, when I can tell a sight of Mauser rifle from a javelin, when such affairs are sorted and surprises I'm aware yet, and when I know precisely what is meant by commissariat, when I have learned what progress has been made in modern gunnery, when I know more of tactics than an office in a nunnery, in short, when I have a smattering of elemental strategy, you'll say a better major general has never rode a horse! Every knowledge that I'm packing and adventuring has only been brought down to the beginning of the century. Silly man is vegetable, animal, and mineral. I'm the very model of a modern major general! Well, now that I've introduced myself, I should like to know what's going on.
The range of emotions in these songs is striking. Does the egotism spring them, or does it try to cover them up? Are they on a parallel track or interwoven? When you confront hopelessness, maybe you learn to rely on yourself. The song becomes an affirmation of independence because necessity, that old mother of invention, requires a healthy ego, even if it has to build one from scratch. From John Kander and Fred Ebb's score to Chicago, B.B. Newworth and Ann Reinking, My Own Best Friend.
There's only one person who can help you now, Roxy.
There's only one person you can count on now, Velma.
And now Miss Roxy Hart and Miss Velma Kelly sing a song of unrelenting determination and unmitigated ego.
One thing I know.
One thing I know.
And I've always
known. I've always known.
I am my
own. I am my own
best friend. Baby's alive.
Baby's alive.
But baby's alone.
Baby's alone.
And baby's her own.
Baby's her own
best friend. My back, 'cause I was scratching there. And trust into luck. That's only for fools.
Only for fools.
I play in a
game where I make the rules.
life is a school. I'll pass every test. If life is a game, I'll play it the best. Cause I won't give in, and I'll never bend. And I am my own best friend.
Is there a greater bastion of egotism than show business? Never get between an actor and a follow spot, not even if the bravado and the confidence are no more than a mask for the insecurity. The assertion is nothing more than an expression of desire, as the hope and dream mix with the recognition that you may never get there. You can cover it with humor all you want. From Julie Stein and Bob Merrill's score to Funny Girl, Barbara Streisand, I'm the Greatest Star.
Listen, I got 36 expressions, sweet as pie to tough as leather. And that's 6 expressions more than all them Barrymores put together. Instead of just kicking me, why don't they give me a lift? It must be a plot, 'cause they're scared that I got such a gift. Well, I'm miffed. 'Cause I'm the greatest star. I am by far, but no one knows it. Wait, they're gonna hear a voice, a silver flute. Ooh, 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 ooh. They'll cheer each toot. Yay, she's terrific. When I expose it, now can't you see to look at me that I'm a natural Camille? As Camille I just feel I've so much to offer. Kid, I know I'd be divine because I'm a natural coffer. Some ain't got it, not a lump. I'm a great big clump of talent. Laugh! Woo-hoo-hoo. They'll bend in half. Did you ever hear the story about the traveling salesman? 1,000 jokes. Stick around for the jokes. 1,000 faces. I reiterate, when you're gifted, then you're gifted. These are facts. I got no axe to grind. Hey, what are they blind? In all of the world so far, I'm the greatest star. Who is the pip with pizzazz? Who is all ginger and jazz? Who is as glamorous as? Who's an American beauty?
Barbra Streisand, I'm the Greatest Star. You're listening to the Peabody Award-winning Fascinating Rhythm, Songs from the Great American Songbook. I'm Michael Lasser. What is there to equal an ego unleashed? On one side, mock humility. On the other, exasperation in response to a woman who's as smart as you are and unlikely to remain under your spell for very long. In this perfectly ordered life, a man who calls himself ordinary is anything but, and eventually gives the lie to his ordinariness. From Alan J. Lerner and Frederick Lowe's score to My Fair Lady, Rex Harrison, I'm an Ordinary Man, and a Hymn to Him.
I find the moment I let a woman make friends with me, she becomes jealous, exacting, suspicious, and a damn nuisance. And I find the moment that I make friends with a woman, I become selfish and tyrannical. So here I am, a confirmed old bachelor, and likely to remain so. After all, Pickering, I'm an ordinary man who desires nothing more than just the ordinary chance to live exactly as he likes and do precisely what he wants. An average man am I, of no eccentric whim, who likes to live his life free of strife, doing whatever he thinks is best for him. Just an ordinary man. Let a woman in your life, and your serenity is through. She'll redecorate your home from the cellar to the dome, then go on to the enthralling fun of overhauling you. Oh, let a woman in your life, and you're up against a wall. Make a plan and you will find she has something else in mind, and so rather than do either, you do something else that neither likes at all. You want to talk of Keats or Milton? She only wants to talk of love. You go to see a play or ballet and spend it searching for her glove. Oh, let a woman in your life and you fight eternal strife. Let them buy their wedding bands for those anxious little hands. I'd be equally as willing for a dentist to be drilling than to ever let a woman in my life. I'm a very gentle man, even-tempered and good-natured, whom you never hear complain, who has the milk of human kindness by the quart in every vein. A patient man am I, down to my fingertips, the sort who never could, ever would, let an insulting remark escape his lips. He's a very gentle man. But let a woman in your life, and patience hasn't got a chance. She will beg you for advice, your reply will be concise, and she'll listen very nicely, then go out and do precisely what she wants. You are a man of grace and polish, who never spoke above a hush. Now all at once you're using language that would make a sailor blush. Oh, let a woman in your life, and you're plunging in a knife. Let the others of my sex tie the knot around their necks. I'd prefer a new edition of the Spanish Inquisition than to ever let a woman in my life. I'm a quiet living man who prefers to spend the evenings in the silence of his room, who likes an atmosphere as restful as an undiscovered tomb. A pensive man am I, of philosophic joys, who likes to meditate, contemplate, free from humanity's mad inhuman noise. Just a quiet living man.
Let a woman in your life, and your sabbatical is through. In a line that never ends, come an army of her friends, come to jabber and to chatter and to tell her what the matter is with you. She'll have a booming, boisterous family who will descend on you en masse. She'll have a large Wagnerian mother with a voice that shatters glass. Oh, let a woman in your life. Let a woman in your life. Let a woman in your life. I shall never let a woman in my life. What in all in heaven can have prompted her to go after such a triumph at the ball? What could have depressed her? What could have possessed her? I cannot understand the wretch at all. Are irrational, that's all there is to that. Their heads are full of cotton, hay, and rags. They're nothing but exasperating, irritating, vacillating, calculating, agitating, maddening, and infuriating hags. Pickering, why can't a woman be more like a man?
Yes.
Why can't a woman be more like a man? Men are so honest, so thoroughly square, eternally noble, historically fair, who, when you win, will always give your back a pat. Why can't a woman be like that? Why does everyone do what the others do? Can't a woman learn to use her head? Why do they do everything their mothers do? Why don't they grow up like their father instead? Why can't a woman take after a man? Men are so pleasant, so easy to please. Whenever you're with them, you're always at ease. Would you be slighted if I didn't speak for hours?
Of course not.
Would you be livid if I had a drink or two?
Nonsense.
Would you be wounded if I never sent you flowers?
Never.
But why can't a woman be like you? One man in a million may shout a bit. Now and then there's one with slight defects. One perhaps whose truthfulness you doubt a bit. But by and large, we are a marvelous sex. Why can't a woman behave like a man? Men are so friendly, good-natured and kind. A better companion you never will find. If I were hours late for dinner, would you bellow?
Of course not.
If I forgot your silly birthday, would you fuss?
Nonsense.
Would you complain if I took out another fellow?
Never.
But why can't a woman be like us? Mrs. Pierce, you're a woman. Why can't a woman be more like a man? Men are so decent, such regular chaps, ready to help you through any mishaps. Ready to buck you up whenever you are glum. Why can't a woman be a chum? Why is thinking something women never do? Why is logic never even tried? Straightening up their hair is all they ever do. Why don't they straighten up the mess that's inside? Why can't a woman be more like a man? If I was a woman who'd been to a ball, been hailed as a princess by one and by all, would I start weeping like a bathtub overflowing? Carry on as if my home were in a tree? Would I run off and never tell me where I'm going? Why can't a woman be like me?
So many creative people have to do their work alone, writers among them, and painters. Being thrown back on your own judgment can breed humility or egomania. And so we come to a gifted artist, an eccentric who overcharges for his paintings and disrespects legitimate authority. He is, as someone remarks, a terrible man, but a raving genius. You get to decide if it's worth it. From Julie Stein and E.Y. Harburg's score to Darling of the Day, Vincent Price, Charles Welch, and Peter Woodthorpe. He's a genius.
Well, of course, as His Royal Highness was saying to me only the other weekend, there's only one really fashionable name in English art today. Priam Farr.
His Royal Highness said that about that terrible man, Priam Farr.
Yes, about that terrible man. He's a most peculiar artist with a most peculiar mind. And I wouldn't call his attitude especially refined. He's an upper class eccentric who refuses to conform to the proper, the respected, the established and the norm. He just won't be nice to people who are most precisely nice. I precisely mean the people who can pay the nicest price. He's derisive of the kingdom, disrespectful to the crown. If his brushes were artillery, they would blow the empire down. But he's a genius, a raving genius. Though we loathe him, we unhappily must say, he sells better than Murillo or El Greco and Utrillo. Priam Farr, Priam Farr, he's the darling, a darling of the day.
When I see these silly donkeys, what I'd give to live at ease back in Java with the monkeys and the wholesome chimpanzees. What's a knighthood to this victor if I have to live with these? Give me back the boa constrictor underneath the jungle trees. 20 years of peace and dozing, working at an honest trade. Far away from all this posing and this empty masquerade. Let's go back and let's go native in those sunny southern isles, where a man can be creative, safe among the crocodiles.
But you're a genius, a knighted genius. And that's what a British genius has to pay.
Something tells me that my clue is to be somewhere east of Suez. Priam Farr, Priam Farr, Kipling calls me back to Mandalay.
He salutes the London art world with a devastating sneer. He says, scratch a connoisseur and you will find an auctioneer. Or to be a painter's critic, you must first be colorblind. And the patron, loving matrons, should be painted from behind. Once he etched a famous general who was known to be a prude, with his medals and his epaulets, but the rest of him all nude. He was forcibly ejected from the Ministry of Art for a portrait of the minister, attired as a tart.
But he's a genius, a blooming genius.
He's as welcome as a foggy day in May. We must smile as if delighted that the blighter will be knighted.
For a knight who makes a painting distingue. Oh, he's a genius, a smashing genius.
He sells better than Da Vinci or Monet. But a boon to the exchequer.
Priam Farr, Priam Farr is the darling, a darling of the day.
It's one thing when somebody else calls you a genius. It's something else when you say it about yourself. Who's that person you're admiring so? Oh yes, it's that face in the bathroom mirror. It doesn't go away, and neither does how you feel about it. From Frank Lesser's score to How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, Robert Morse, I Believe in You.
Oh, look at him standing there, staring at himself in the mirror.
Now there you are. Yes, there's that face. That face that somehow I trust. It may embarrass you to hear me say it, but say it I must, say it I must. you have the cool, clear eyes of a seeker of wisdom and truth. Yet there's that upturned chin and that grin of impetuous youth. Oh, I believe in you. I believe in you. I hear the sound of good, solid judgment whenever you talk. Yet there's the bold, brave spring of the tiger that quickens your walk. Oh, I believe in you. I believe in you. And when my faith in my fellow man all but falls apart, I've but to feel your hand grasping mine, and I take heart. I take heart to see the cool, clear eyes of a seeker of wisdom and truth. Yet with the slam, bang, tang, reminiscent of gin and vermouth. Oh, I believe in you. I believe in you.
Gotta stop that man. Gotta stop that man. For he'll stop me. Big wheel, big beaver, boiling hot with front on the steamer. Gotta stop, gotta stop, gotta stop that man.
Oh, I believe in you.
Don't let him be such a hero.
I believe in you.
You.
It was only a matter of time until we got to the love songs. Two songs, two different approaches to the situation. Their titles certainly make them feel as if the characters are egotistical, but it's more complicated than that. In the first, he feels the way he does not because he's superior, but because she loves him. In the second, a comic number, nobody loves him, so what's he to do? He finds a way to fill a necessary gap. Gene Kelly with Andre Previn, Betty Comden, and Adolph Green's I Like Myself, and Eddie Cantor with Edwin Weber, Will Mahoney, and Jack Hoynes, I Love Me, I'm Wild About Myself.
Why am I feeling so good? Why am I feeling so strong? Why am I feeling when things could look black that nothing could possibly go wrong? This has been a most unusual day. Love has made me see things in a different way. Can it be I like myself? She likes me so. I like myself. If someone wonderful as she is can think I'm wonderful, I must be quite a guy. Feeling so unlike myself. Always used to But now my love has got me riding high. She likes me, so so do I. Me, so so do I.
Their songs of love, they write of one another. It's always his or ma or pa or sweetheart or a brother. But love songs that they've aimed at me have all gone on the shelf. I don't think that is fair, so now I write one of myself. I love me, I love myself to death. I love me till I'm all out of breath. I stop at every slot machine that I should chance to pass and give myself a hug and squeeze as I look in the glass. Oh, I love me, I'm wild about sweet me. I love me, only me, so I'm content, you see. I like myself with such delight, I take me right straight home each night and sleep with me till broad daylight. I'm wild about myself. I love me, I'm wild about myself. I love me, my picture's on my shelf. You may not think I look so good, but me thinks I'm just fine. It's grand when I look in my eyes and know that I'm all mine. Oh, I love me, and my love doesn't bore. Day by day, in every way, I love me more and more. I take me to a quiet place, I put my arm around my waist. If me gets fresh, I slap my face. I'm wild about myself. I love me every place I go. I love me, and at a movie show, I take myself right by my arm and push me through the crowd and listen to myself read me the titles right out loud. Oh, I love me, I love me, I love to squeeze my hand. I love me, it always feels so grand. With me, I get right in my tub. I let myself give me a rub. Oh, how I love to feel me scrub. I'm wild about myself. I love me, I'll marry me someday. Right away, Saturday, I'll give me all my pay. With me, I like to make a date, to meet myself at 8:30. If I'm not there, I never wait. I'm wild about myself.
What to make of all the egos running rampant? Some provide a laugh, others make you want to cringe, and others in the service of love add to the sense of satisfaction. Andrew Croucher is the senior audio producer. I'm Michael Lasser. The show's Fascinating Rhythm.
Fascinating Rhythm is a production of WXXI-FM in Rochester, New York. Support for this program is provided by this station and by the contributing members of the WXXI Public Broadcasting Council. For a playlist of this week's program, or to listen to Fascinating Rhythm online, visit wxxi.org/rhythm.